Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to RHI Magnesita India Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Rajesh Majumdar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 conference call of RHI Magnesita India. We have with us today Mr. Parmod Sagar, Chairman, MD, and CEO, and Mr. Azim Syed, CFO of the company, joining us in this call. Kindly remember that any conversation made in this call may be forward-looking, and the statutory notes are there. Without much ado, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Parmod Sagar now for his opening remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajesh. Very good morning to everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. RHI Magnesita has an unwavering commitment to safety first. We are continuously working to improve our safety system, not only in our production sites but also at our customer locations, warehouses, and corporate offices as well, through implementing seven life-saving rules and enhancing the safety with robotics and automation. I am pleased to report that RHI Magnesita India achieved the ever-highest record quarterly revenue in Q2 at 1,035 crores, sustaining the consistent growth momentum. This growth was underpinned by higher volume and notable market share gains across all business segments. Starting with the broad industry landscape, we are observing promising macroeconomic indicators, green shoots across our core end markets. Let me start with the Indian steel sector. In the last quarter, the steel production increased by 4% quarter-on-quarter basis. While there was an increase in the production and shipment volume, we saw contraction in margins, which underpinned the competitive environment that the Indian steel sector is going through. India is still a net importer, and most of the production boost came from the safeguard tariffs. The outlook for steel production will come from the third round of production-linked incentive scheme for specialty products. On the cement sector, due to unseasonal monsoon, we saw lower production and squeezed margins. We are expecting further improvement in cement production with the recent GST rationalization, which would boost further demand. Aligning with the government's emphasis on housing and infrastructure development and reducing customer costs, which would provide impetus for further cement production and expansion. One of the key areas of focus was to ensure that we gain market share opportunity in the areas of steel and our strategic drive in 4PRO or TRM contracts are yielding results. We have secured long-term contracts that we set out to do. We received price increases in specialized markets and secured market share in some areas of commoditized market as well. We were able to execute key seasonal cement orders. We are also continuously gaining market share in iron making, coke oven, DRI, and pellet business. And with the current results, we are happy to report that our strategic initiatives are progressing well. We are also pleased to report that we have successfully completed the product transfer of Ankral and Radex cement bricks from our group technology into India. This will provide opportunities that will unlock further value for our shareholders. Our integration with Aswath Technologies is also progressing well. Crucially, our growth is not just quantitative. It reflects a deliberate strengthening of our market position. This quarter's results affirm the effectiveness of our business fundamentals to reclaim market share. By aligning closely with our customer needs and executing effectively, we deepened engagement with key accounts. Quarter by quarter, we are gaining momentum, driving growth, and navigating a challenging environment with agility and focus. I would like to underscore that while we remain pragmatic about the current headwinds, we are equally confident in the positive trajectory that lies ahead. Our margins are still under pressure, and this is an industry-wide issue with the headwinds that our end customers face. However, with focused cost optimization efforts, ongoing product innovation, an improved outlook on raw material pricing, and a shift toward a better product mix, we expect margins to improve progressively in the coming quarter. RHI Magnesita India plays a vital role in strengthening the nation's industrial foundation, facilitating safer and more efficient steel and steel production to advance India's 5 trillion economic vision through resilient, self-reliant supply chains. With a well-defined strategy and a high-performing team in place, I'm confident that our continued commitment and growing customer trust will enable us to transform today's challenges into sustainable growth opportunities. Thank you very much, everyone, and I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Azim Syed, to walk through the financial performance in detail.
Thank you, sir. Good morning to all. Let me now walk you through the financial results for the second quarter of FY26. Despite market headwinds, we achieved highest ever quarterly revenue from operations of ₹1,035 crores. This reflects a sequential growth of approximately 8% over Q1 FY26 and a year-on-year increase of nearly 19% versus Q2 FY25. Shipment volume stood at 141 kilotons, marking a 9% quarter-on-quarter increase and an 18% year-on-year rise, driven by strong underlying demand and significant market share expansion. The main levers for growth are steel industry. In the steel industry, orders from integrated private players and as well as from public sector steel producers for new converters and ladle business. The cement industry also contributed to growth, fueled by one-time project orders and seasonal maintenance demand as expected. Broad-based improvements across flow control, coke oven, DRI and pallet as mentioned by Pramodji. And as Pramodji informed, we are also seeing strategic initiatives in coke oven, DRM also delivering tangible results. Turning to profitability, our operating EBITDA for Q2 FY26 reached 111 crores, reflecting an EBITDA margin of 10.7%. On an absolute basis, this marks a 7% improvement over the previous quarter. Sequentially, we have sustained our margin performance. However, on a year-on-year basis, there has been a decline as the year-on-year is not comparable. In Q2 2025, we had one-time release of warranty provision, and there was a continued impact of elevated raw material costs comparing to the prior year. Despite production of cost in alumina, our raw material cost remained flat quarter-on-quarter. This was due to change of product mix of sales, wherein higher cost of magnesia-based raw material and US dollar and euro foreign exchange depreciation. As Pramodji mentioned, we are expected to better our margins in the upcoming quarters with further lowering of raw material prices, recipe optimization, and future performance bonus expectations. The profit after tax was Rs. 38 crores, up 9% sequentially from 35 crores in Q1. Our net debt to EBITDA ratio is at 0.45x, which is higher from last quarter, majorly due to working capital tied to revenue growth and dividend payout. We consider this to be manageable, and with continued impact of last year's debt reduction efforts, we expect interest expenses to trend downward in the periods ahead. Our balance sheet remains absolutely robust and liquid. We maintain strict working capital discipline. In short, we have the discipline and resources to fund our strategy without undue leverage. Looking ahead, we remain confident and realistic. Our order book remains robust for the upcoming quarters, particularly in the steel sector, where major mills have confirmed substantial capex expenditure plans. The cement segment also shows strong momentum, supported by upcoming large-scale expansions and scheduled plant turnarounds. We are witnessing positive developments on the raw material front also. While it's premature to declare full success, the trajectory is promising. As Mr. Sagar mentioned, we anticipate a consistent quarter-by-quarter upswing rather than a sudden spike. Our intention is to close the year with the EBITDA margin similar to last year's level, and we remain confident in that goal. Business fundamentals have positioned RHI Magnesita India for success through strong industrial demand, solid execution on strategy, and a healthy balance sheet. We believe these fundamentals will enable us to deliver on our FY26 targets and long-term goals. Thank you to all our stakeholders for your continued trust and support. We will now open the line for questions. Back to the operator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pankaj Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead. The line for Mr. Pankaj Agarwal has been disconnected. We move on to the next. The next question comes from the line of Ashish Kejriwal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Good morning, everyone. Sir, quickly, three questions. In your remarks, you mentioned that we are soon going to be margins, EBITDA margins similar to FY25 level. So you are expecting that to come in fourth quarter, or you are talking about overall FY26 EBITDA margin to be similar to FY25, which was around 13%?
Yes. So we are expecting the full year number to be the same as last year. We are expecting some one-time payoffs, which we received just like in the last year. We'll expect this. So this will be higher than what our current trend rate is in the upcoming quarter. Our expectation is that we will end, as we said in the earlier cost, between 13 and 14% is what we still are doing for full year 26.
That's great. And sir, this is being driven by what? Because, you know, when you said that we are able to take some price hikes in from some of the specialty market, but overall, if you look at the prices this quarter, it was also somewhat lower than last quarter. And second thing is, earlier we were expecting that, you know, because of lower alumina prices getting hit in P&L in second quarter, we may end up with the margins of 13-14% this quarter only. But now we understand that, you know, magnesite cost has increased so much that, you know, margins have got affected. My question was, one, how much price hike we were able to take in roughly what percentage of our volume? And second, if you can say about alumina and magnesite cost, how much is this is combining with the total cost? Thank you.
So, thank you for your question. One is, we were expecting that alumina prices has gone down and we will have advantage in this quarter, as you said rightly. But unfortunately, our inventory is still at a level of, you know, finishing even in November. So the impact which we were expecting, unfortunately, could not materialize because the pipeline of, you know, shipments was higher already. The order was placed, and when we are in a contract, and as a, you know, market leader and ethical company, we were not forcing our suppliers to, you know, cancel those contracts and go into a new contract. So it was, you know, hit us badly, but at the same time, we honor our contracts. And secondly, magnesia rate has gone up, which also impacted us adversely. But, third one,
how the margins will come back?
Yeah. So margin, we now, as I said, in now onwards, alumina prices will be the market prices. Whatever high alumina inventory was there, it will vanish in November. So next 4 months, we will have advantage of lower price of alumina. On magnesia front, we are doing some product optimization, recipe optimization to, you know, compensate price increase of fused magnesia and DBM. So that will also be giving a dividend or positive results December onwards. Thirdly, we have some, you know, product optimization, productivity improvement, and some automation, which Azimji was saying, which will give us a substantial uptick in coming 3-4 months' time. So we are confident because of these 3-4 levers, we will be able to deliver similar to last year's EBITDA.
Okay.
Last was the price hike percentage. I can also answer that. Is
yeah.
That okay? So we received mostly price hikes in the area of flow control, which is approximately 28% of our revenue. We basically got, let's say, in single-digit price increases, and these are our long-term contracts. So we believe that this will sustain over at least for the next upcoming year.
Understood, sir. So lastly, in terms of the market, overall market, are we still seeing intense competition in non-specialties business?
Absolutely. As I said, competition is going, you know, strong to strong. Many players, you know, small players are just trying to enter, even so small. You have seen the results of one of our competitors, who is also listed. They are also coming many product areas, and just to enter the market, they are also offering a really not sustainable price. But it put pressure on us and other established player also to reduce their prices to just remain in the market. So I see there's a heavy thrust on overcapacity. People are, you know, trying to now fill up their plant with whatever price they are getting. So it is not a healthy situation for the industry overall, I would say, but this is the reality.
Sir, may I add one more point on the top of what Pramodji said? If you look at even our end customers' margin, also there's quite a bit of a squeeze, let it be steel or cement. You can look at their EBITDA per ton also reducing. So there is a, so it's a buyer's market as well. So that is, so there are a lot of, quite a bit of headwinds, but we are confident with our strategy in terms of long-term relationship, diverse portfolio, TRM and FORPRO end-to-end solutions, which will hopefully improve the productivity of our customers. That's the way we will differentiate ourselves, because we believe in, not in a cyclic market, but in a long-term, commitment to our customers' performance.
Understood, sir. In fact, and this is very encouragable that despite this kind of scenario, you are guiding for around 13% EBITDA margin, as similar to last quarter. So last year, sorry. So that is very commendable. All the best, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I had a few questions. One was that, why have the receivables gone up so much in this quarter? Is there any cause for alarm, or is that position better now?
So, Rajeshji, one of our key account, a very big group, they changed their methodology of, you know, services contract, where they have some, you know, they, you need to give this backup paper to give them a what we say, a process improvement. So that, you know, impacted us heavily, and last 2-3 months, we were not able to get the payments. Then everything was streamlined, and fortunately, in October, I think we have recovered everything. It was a record collection. I would not say the number, but it was a record collection ever. So whatever was a shortfall of last quarter, it is compensated now.
So we should see second half cash flows going back to normal levels, right? What we've seen in the last few. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, sir. My second question is, if you look at the performance of Dalmia, it is still like YOY decline, and even after acquisition, after 2 years, the turnover is still nowhere near 1,000 crores. So what is happening with this asset? If you could give us some more granular idea about where we can see this business down the line in terms of top line margins and what steps you're taking for the same. Yeah.
Margin-wise, JSG, I would say we are very well placed. It was around 11% plus margin for last quarter.
Compared to 7%.
Comparative to last quarter, last to last quarter is 7-8%. So we have improved. Last quarter, last to last quarter was 8.7% EBITDA, and this quarter it is 11.4%. And if you talk about volume, it is 26% growth in volume, and also this revenue gone up from.
No, that has come from standalone, sir. But if you subtract the consolidated from standalone, then the subsidiary has not done so well. That's what I was asking you about the subsidiary.
I'm talking about only subsidiary, Dalmia plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just to give you clarity, the number Q2 FY26 was 264 crores, and Q2 FY25 was 216 crores. So there is a substantial increase in the revenue and also on the shipment, as we mentioned, 38 kilotons to 42 kilotons is what we have noted, we have done. And in the EBITDA percentage, if we compare Q1 FY26, we are at 3.7. Now we are back to 11.4%. So there has been an increased effort. Now, if you're talking about year-on-year quarterly performance, as mentioned earlier in my speech also, that we had a one-time performance bonus in Q2 FY25. If I exclude that, our margin percentages are still in double digit, which we have maintained. So bottom line, the main point, Rajeshji, basically is that our performance is getting to some bit of a sustainable level. All the improvements that we have put across is kind of, you know, paying us now dividends in terms of our performance as well.
Also, we are shifting 2-3 products from our global to India, which will effectively be Rajgangpur, our Dalmia plant. So further growth in this Dalmia plant will happen in, let's say, next 6 months' time or so.
Okay. And one last question from my side. Are there any efforts to increase the business from the non-ferrous or glass side or this where you have kind of investment? Do we have any orders which could give us some kind of fillip on from those businesses other than steel and cement?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of efforts going on, and first, let me give the background. Non-ferrous and glass, you know, it is a cyclic thing. Unfortunately, in 25, there was not a single project of glass and non-ferrous, which impacted us badly. In 24, it was there. And we are expecting 2-3 projects are coming up in 26, and maybe 5-6 projects are coming up in 27. So we can see an upward trend. Projects are coming back, and these are comparatively better margin projects if compared with the normal cement and steel business. So we are very positive about this, and we have, I would say, increased budget of these products in 26 as compared to 25.
This is my calendar year, just to be specific.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian. Please go ahead.
The
line for Mayank Bhandari has been disconnected. We'll proceed ahead with the next one. The next question comes from the line of Yash Shah. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible.
I'm audible. Yeah. Good afternoon, Parmodji. So, good afternoon, Yash Shah. Yeah, this is Yash Shah from YPH PMS. We have been invested in the company since last 11 years. So we have seen multiple cycles of the company. But one thing is very clear, before the Dalmia acquisition, I will not like to go into the verticals, but before the Dalmia acquisition, we had almost reached a PBT of around 100 CR per quarter. On a very low turnover, say around 750 or 800 CR turnover. With this acquisition, we are nowhere near to it. Like earlier, the EBITDA margins were 15%. If you see them now, it's coming to around, PBT margins are now coming to around 5-6%. So plus the equity dilution, which we spoke around, I guess, 15 months back, that the equity dilution was opted because the promoter company had debt on its book instead of going for debt. So the equity has gone up so much and the profit has not stayed up to the mark. So that has been clearly reflecting in the price, share price as well over the last 3 years. And yeah, that is it. So are we looking for good times ahead? Are the bad times still going to prevail for some more years? Or how is the business picture looking overall?
I tend to agree with you. Yes, standalone RHI Magnesita India before acquiring Dalmia, we were doing exceedingly well. And if we check that segment, we still are doing exceedingly well. There's no doubt about that. With this Dalmia, we wanted to increase our footprint in industrial area, non-steel area, which successfully we did. We enter it. In iron making area, we were zero. And in last 2 years, we enter into it. Only thing is this, we did not convert this, or we could not convert this market gain in good margins, because the market of this type of product treatment or DRI or other iron making products which came along with Dalmia acquisition are low margin or volume product.
Right.
Somebody is there. So what we are doing now is we are bringing products which are having high selling price with high margins from our parent company to Dalmia Group company, which is now RHI Magnesita India Refractory Limited. So I would not say bad time or good time. I would say the challenging time is almost over, but still the market is so dynamic, over capacity. Everybody is putting up capacity in India without seriously thinking of what will be the repercussion of this capacity. So this is impacting. If you will check, I will not take the name, but other listed companies, refractory listed companies who has declared their results in last 2 days or 3 days, everybody is a bit come down. We still could manage to maintain a bit of last quarter. And in absolute value, 7% increase in our EBITDA. But if you check the other, so it is headwind for everyone.
Just to interrupt. So if you say that the business has been good, so if the PBT on a quarterly basis was 100 CR before the Dalmia acquisition, if it has come down to 50 CR, it can be only because of two reasons. Either the Dalmia business is making losses or the current business margins has gone down. There cannot be a third reason, right?
There is a huge part which depreciation is playing. That we cannot ignore because of this buying price or whatever you say.
Let me do this.
Yeah, please. I would like the CFO to pitch in. Yes, please.
Yeah. So basically the first thing is that our realization rate before 11 years versus now would have dropped quite significantly. Okay, I'm talking 11 years before because...
I'm thinking just 3 years back when we started the 100 CR profit PBT. So I'm just asking that 100 CR is now 50 CR. So that can be only because of two reasons. Either the realizations have gone down of the existing business that we used to do, or the new business is becoming a drag on it. Right?
Okay.
So I just wanted that... Why has that gone down? So because sir says that the business is going... Still it's doing good. So at least it should have a 70, 80 or 90 CR PBT. But if the Dalmia business is doing poor, then that is dragging it down to 50 CR.
Yes. So can I answer that?
If you have the figures, yeah. If you have the figures, please.
Okay. So basically, the first element basically is that, see, we look at it from a business perspective. From a business perspective, as you know that with the PPA that we paid, it carries a depreciation cost. If you look at our Dalmia entity, there are some approvals that we are doing from an indirect perspective, wherein we have some losses there, which we will get after 2 years. Okay? So you will see quite a bit of profitability coming back in 2 years once we get these tax credits that will flow through.
After 5 years of acquisition.
After 5 years of acquisition. So this currently, you are not able to see in our P&L.
Okay.
The second part, so there is a little bit of a profitability. If you look at it, if you kind of put it back ahead, you will come back to the closer number where you are performing now. Now, the second thing is that you
Can we have some numbers on this profitability figure, which we might get after 5 years?
I mean, we don't give some long-term guidance, as you basically can see, but if you are happy, we can send some, if you can send some assumptions that you would like to make over an email, we are happy to confirm or deny those assumptions.
Yeah, but it is substantial amount. That's what we can say.
Exactly right.
Okay.
The second part basically, what we are also talking about is that, see, the reason for acquisition of business, I mean, the rationale behind acquisition was the following, right? Number one basically is that we want to gain our cement market share. So we grow from 17%-43% because of this, which basically means we are ready to serve the growing, ever-growing capacity expansion on the market. This will give us further accretive profitability that we didn't have before. Having said that, this also is a drag on the realization rate on this is much lower than what we were doing the steel business because of the nature of the product mix that we sell. So this will come through also in the future. The third thing, and all the depreciation that we are carrying forward will be fully absorbed once this capacity flow through. And this is what you are seeing quarter-on-quarter, our improvements in the Dalmia business.
Okay, fine. So as you are saying, how much time can we take to get back to a PBT earlier figure that you used to have? Not considering the tax figures. May 2 years more or 3 years more?
2 to 3 years is a good time frame for your assumption, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Parmod. So we are investors since a long time. We are future investors, but look for good times ahead. Thank you so much for taking up my questions.
Thank you so much for being a long-time investor. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Market. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on, like you spoke, Azim sir spoke about the flow controls contribution, 28% of the total revenue. So is this for the quarter or for the first half?
For the quarter, sir.
And what would it be for the first half?
So for in Q1, it was close to about, for 29.6, I mean 30%, you can assume.
So just checking out that what has been the growth in the flow control for you if we look at YOY for the first half?
So basically, last year, I mean, our percentage remains.
I would say the growth in the first half of this year was flattish. We get a market share gain from July onwards, right? So its market share, I would say, in one of the group from 22%, it is 30%+ now, market share in one of the biggest group. Okay. So likewise, in other groups also, so there is, I would say, 8%-10% market share gain in flow control in second half of this year, which will continue till, say, end of June before we have a go for again negotiation, etc.
Yeah, but the volume as such has not grown, but your gain market share is what you're doing.
Yeah, actually, flow control is not a volume game.
Yes.
It is, you know, more of peace game. So even if you get a 10%, 11% market gain, it will not reflect in thousands of tons.
Yes.
It is a few hundred tons.
Okay. Because one of the competitor has highlighted issues with the small furnaces, small blast furnaces, which we are facing in the Indian market. So I was just checking, I mean, how flow control has grown. So basically, it is flat YOY, is what you're telling.
Till now, first half, it was flat. July onwards, we got market share, but you are talking two different things.
Yeah.
Blast furnace has nothing to do with flow control. So somebody is either they are not clearly telling you the story, or blast furnace, mini blast furnace, small blast furnace, I think you are talking about induction furnace. So
Yeah.
induction, right, induction furnace, flow control, I think, our competitor is, you know, entering into it, in a way, but that market is sluggish. I would say in last 4-5 months, out of, say, 500+ customer, 150 customer has reduced their production temporarily because of monsoon and cheap import from Vietnam, Thailand, China, et cetera.
Exactly. Just to give you a little bit of, I mean, if you do year-on-year comparison, probably you'll not get the right figure, because to know what is the significant gain that we have made, if you look at, you know, okay, previous two quarters versus last two quarters for us. So for example, previous two quarters, we were, our average revenue was close to about 27%. Now we have done 28%, again, with the good margin increase, and quarter-on-quarter, we have done 11% increase. That gives you a little bit of the momentum and velocity that we are talking about in terms of what we have. This is despite the sluggishness in the induction furnace, which basically states that, yeah, we have gained some market share in some of the large steel mill providers, producer.
Hello?
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pankaj Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question is with respect to the recent news on the production capacity decrease by Chinese steel companies and expected price increase, so that Indian steel industry comes at par with the Chinese steel production industry in next 2 years. So how is RHIM going to benefit from this? And are there on-ground capacity enhancement by Indian companies in the view of expected price increase in steel in next 2 to 3 years? Thank you.
Sir, actually, the situation is this: government of China has decided to reduce their steel production 2% every year. And by, you know, 2035, they want to reduce their steel production from 1 billion to 750 million ton. But their own consumption is much lower than this. So in spite of reducing 2% steel production every year, it will not have any impact. Still, they have overcapacity. Still, they are keep on exporting the steel at a very cheap price, subsidized price, not only directly, but through Southeast Asia countries to Indian market. As Azim said, we are still net importer. Import is coming more than what we are doing export. And the specialty steel, 12% safeguard duty, which was given by Government of India about, say, 6 years, six months back, that is also over. From 30th October, there is no safeguard duty for steel industry. So that's why their margins has squeezed. So one of our biggest customer, he show us the results that at present, steel pricing, sale price of steel is lowest in last 5 years, and they are under tremendous pressure. Even today, I was reading somewhere, one of the group is going to have a 50% of their one plant is going to have a joint venture with some Japanese company. They wanted to sell off 50% of their, you know, steel plant. So it looks like the, you know, the growth is happening very fast, but actually, against the numbers, which is a capacity number, enhancement is 8-9%, actual growth is 3-4% only, and
Understood.
With the lower margins. So I don't see, in a very near future, we will have a, you know, bumper steel sale and with good margin, and in turn, we will also get very good price increases. In near term, I would say it will be gradual growth, and we are thinking we will be growing more than the market growth.
Understood. So if I may highlight that a few of the steel companies in India, they have started giving the outlook for their capacity increase in near future. So does it look like a very long-term strategy of 5-6 years or near-term strategy of 2-3 years?
No, it is long-term strategy, because when they are saying, for example, if JSW is saying we are putting up a 5%, 5 million tons.
I was referring to that only.
Yeah. So that capacity they will create in next 2 years. But to utilize that capacity, to ramp up the production from 0 to 5 million will take maybe 3, 4, 5 years. So capacity is increasing, but capacity utilization is a gradual process.
I appreciate the clarity given by the management on this aspect. This was a very big question in the entire industry as of now, I think. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mayank Bhandari from Asian Markets. Please go ahead.
Sir, I also want to understand about our export strategy. I mean, if you could highlight how much is our export revenue currently, and I mean, we look at your parent's release, and it says that the demand of refractories in Europe could spike up because there is some import duty cut in Europe, which is slated to happen. So if you could highlight on that.
You know, as of now, our export is somewhere like 9-10%. It is hovering quarter to quarter. I will not say somebody, you know, sometimes you have an order in this quarter, somewhere in next quarter. So it's better to say year. So year-on-year basis, we are around 10% of our total capacity, if we talk about, and it is primarily flow control products. So if we take the standalone RHI Magnesita India Limited, our exports are to the tune of 24-25%, which historically we were doing. But with the, you know, consolidated Dalmia put together everything, it is around 10%. So I would say we will be growing gradually. We have a business plan. We did trials in last 1 year at various countries. Successful trials, I would say. Now it will be a semi-commercial trial, and in next year we will have an uptick, substantial uptick in flow control area. So when I'm saying substantial, maybe it will go from 10 to 12, because it is a overall. If we talk about RHI Magnesita India Limited standalone, maybe it will be 5-6% increase in 1 year's time from now onwards. But Europe or, you know, Europe, the steel production as of now is still declined. And recently, European Union has put a sanction on Russia. So we will not be able to sell anything to Russia, which we were selling. So it will impact globally everybody.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sahil Sanghvi. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. First of all, very commendable numbers on the top line. Very well done. Must congratulate the whole team. My first question is there, as a, you know, have been looking at this industry for a couple of years now, I mean, more than 5 years now, we used to expect a good 18-20% margins in flow control and maybe some less lower number in the commodity products before. Now, with the rising competitiveness in the market overall and with new capacities coming in, where do you think this margin levels can stabilize? Just product-wise, if you can help me understand.
Sahil, thank you very much for your kind words. First of all, flow control, as I said earlier to answering to somebody's question, we are still good. Q1 26 was about 21% margin, and now this quarter it is 23% margin. So we don't have any issue. We are comparable with the best in the class, right? So.
Right, sir.
So, but the other products, be it high alumina brakes, magnesia brakes, magnesia carbon brakes, castable, these are commodity businesses where too many players have entered into, and they are trying to sell at any cost. So that is giving headwind to everyone. So maintaining that, you know, double-digit margin in that segment is a challenge. Still, we are trying to maintain that. You can see Dalmia team was telling 11.4% margin, which is purely a brick and the mortar business, castable and bricks, mix of high alumina and magnesia brakes. So we are still trying very hard to how we can reduce our production cost, how we can reduce our scrap rate, how we can use more circular economy recycling in our recipes. So the factual thing is this: we don't have any issue with flow control. We have a headwind of margin with the commodity business.
Right, sir. Right, sir. I understand. Thank you. Thank you for this answer. Secondly, if you can help me with the Dalmia numbers again, you said that the shipment has increased to 42 versus 38 YoY, right? 38 kiloton YoY. Is that correct?
It is a quarter-on-quarter basis, I think.
Quarter-on-quarter.
We are talking about the last quarter of this quarter, 35,000 tons versus 42,000 tons, quarter-on-quarter.
Yeah. And margins roughly 8% has gone to 11.
8.7%-11.4%.
Okay. And revenue, you said, has gone from roughly how much?
It is 20% growth, 25% growth, I would say.
26%.
208 crore to 264 crore.
Right, sir. Right, sir. So this is really a good improvement, sir. And that's really commendable. Lastly, on the CapEx that we aim to do at Dalmia, I mean, the refurbishment and all that, is that largely on track and we should expect some positives out of that refurbishment in next year?
Yeah. You know, CapEx is on track, but the problem is the lead times. We have placed an order for a Tecnimont press. It is 14 months lead time. So by end of, say, 26 calendar year, it will be commissioned. So some mixers are 8 months delivery time, some 6 months, some 1 year, but it is on track. One of the press which we ordered last year is under commissioning in Rajgangpur plant. Some will come in next 2-3 months' time. Some will come end of 26. So, but it is on track, I would say.
Because of this, all these new press machines, refurbishments, can we expect some efficiencies to come out? I mean, some benefits on the cost, some margin benefits?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will. Definitely, it will improve our productivity, reduce the labor cost, reduce rejection levels, improve quality.
Yeah. So we don't do any projects, especially in the acquired plants, if the payback period is not less than.
More than 3 years.
Yeah, not less than 3 years. You're right. So that's the way we look at this. And yeah. And also, we have a very strict ROIC reasoning, and we basically aim at least to do it in double digits. So these are the two conditions on which we do the investment plan.
Perfect. Lastly, my last question is your CapEx spend for, I mean, absolute number, the CapEx that you wish to spend this year and next?
Yeah. So we are budgeted 150 crore. We have spent 60 crore in H1. We aim to do the rest in the H2. As we said, it's more about phasing of, you know, spending, which normally happens in Q3 more versus in Q1 or Q2.
Yeah. And something will also spill over to next year.
Yes.
Year also.
So next year should be roughly 100 crore or should be less?
Should be. Should be 90-100 crore.
Exactly. As we said that this year would be the highest CapEx spend that we are doing. Again, because of specific investments that we are aiming to do, but again, for next upcoming year, it will be to the tune of 100 is a good assumption to make.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shania Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just
Hello.
Like two questions. First, like, could you outline the margin outlook for like H2 FY26 and FY25? Like, what factors are expected to drive improvement going forward?
So I can take this. So basically, for the full year, we are saying that we'll still be around 13-14%. The main reason what we were saying basically is that one is we would have a naturally raw material price decrease because we do average inventory pricing, and basically the average inventory price for aluminum and magnesia we expect to subside in the upcoming quarter. So this will give us a natural profitability increase. The second part is we are also expecting a better product mix because in the current quarter we had cement high volumes. So this will also help us to improve our realization rates better. The third part, what we are expecting basically is that we gain significant market share in the ladle business. We are expecting the performance bonuses to come through in the upcoming quarter. And fourth thing, we have some industrial orders which are naturally higher margin percentage orders. So these will also come in the upcoming quarters. So with this, we are absolutely confident that we will go back for the full year to the last year performance, what we are expecting.
Oh, nice, nice. Just one.
And also the FX as well. My apologies, I forgot to mention the FX because we were actually, FX weighed quite heavily on us this quarter because we purchased most of the materials from China and we used USD or euros. And as you know that there was a significant depreciation on the euros. It's gotten better already in October. But if this continues, we are also getting some relief on these expenses as well. And its financing costs or our other expenses should better.
Thank you for the detailed clarification. And just one more question. Like, could you share an update on the performance of each segment, like the steel, cement, industrial and flow control during the quarter?
So we don't give those individual things, but what we are happy to share is the split of business we have. So for example, the steel, including flow control, we do about 80% of our revenue. Then we have in the second highest revenue is our cement business, that is close to about 14%. Rest comes from the project order business. Total revenue, we normally have 25-28%. Again, depending on the quarter, we have flow control business. And normally flow controls are our highest margin business that we operate at.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Gupta from Aware Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible to you?
Yes, sir, yes. You are audible.
Yeah, so my first question is, if I'm not wrong, our capacity utilization has been reached around 72%. So could you please tell, like, what kind of optimal utilization that we are thinking of? And
although we can hear you, your voice is not coming out clearly. Can you please repeat the question and maybe a little bit away from the phone? That will help.
Mr. Okay. Bebo, can you just increase your volume?
Hello, am I audible right now?
Yes, you are, but not much clear.
Hello?
Now it's good. Loud and clear.
Yeah. So my first question is, if I'm not wrong, like, our capacity utilization has been reached around 72%. So please tell us what kind of optimal utilization that we are having. And is there any plan for capacity expansion for the debottlenecking?
I'm sorry, we still can't hear you.
Mr. Webbo?
Hello?
When you're asking the question, you sound muffled.
Hello? Am I audible right now?
Yeah, loud and clear now.
Okay, so my first question is, if I'm not wrong, like, our capacity utilization has been reached around 72%. So could you please share what kind of optimum level of utilization that we are thinking of, and what is the, are there any plan for capacity expansion or debottlenecking of facilities?
Yes, you are right, and we are having a planning to reach to a level of 80%-85% capacity utilization in next 2 years' time. As of now, we will not do any capacity expansion. There can be in some bits and pieces, in some particular product range, where we feel that it is reached to a optimum level and we need to increase. So that will be add-on type of thing, adding some press or some mixer or some dryer or some kiln, but it will not be a, you know, add on a new plant. Okay?
Okay. My second question is, like, what is the revenue contribution coming from the transform product, like UREX, resistors or Eco-grade clean bricks? And how this contribution is scaling up in the coming quarters?
It is a very initial stage as of now, eco or green. These are trial stage things, you know, it will not have a material impact on anything.
Exactly.
Then it will take another 2 to 3 years when we have a substantial business of these type of products.
Yeah.
It
also.
Quantify it, sir?
Sorry?
Is it possible for you to quantify, like, what will be the outlook, let's say, next 2-3 years for this product?
Most of the. See, we are talking about transfer of technologies here, which basically means we are getting this. Some of the businesses already we have in our revenue run rate. Because today, what we do is that we are exporting this, sorry, we are importing this from our group company or group plant. But the benefit of this technology transfer, the way we can unlock the value for our shareholder is, one, once we import this technology, that means it will increase our capacity utilization, thereby absorbing some of the fixed costs. Second, it will also help us hugely on our working capital because we will produce the product down. Third, also it will provide quite a bit of a margin improvement as well because we will be able to produce it in India, which has a lower cost versus what we get from either from Europe or other locations. So that's the unlock value that we will have. It's the upside maybe is there because we can probably sell it to more customers. But as Pramodji mentioned, it's at a very early stage and we don't give product-wise details because it's, I mean, these products have quite a bit of competitive movement as well. Coming specifically to green bricks also, I mean, we need to, I'm talking specifically about the green technology, what you mentioned. This is completely, we have the products and it's up to the appetite of our customers if they want to do it because, as you know, the green product has quite a bit of cost attached to it. So it's the appetite of the customer. So we are ready to provide a green product and if they are able to take it in their portfolio, we will welcome it and we'll see accretive growth, but we are ready for the future.
Okay. And my last question is, like, how was the demand trended across the steel and cement sector post-monsoon? And what is your outlook for the second half of this year?
Demand, what we, after talking to many big players of steel and cement, should be hovering around 4%-6%.
Okay.
Outlook is almost similar to, I would say, first half. There will not be any, you know, substantial change in the outlook. I don't see it. We ourselves believe that we are better placed than first half.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rajesh Majumdar. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so one last question I had was, since we are seeing alumina prices so low now, does it make sense for us to kind of build up a RM inventory? Because 3 years ago we did that before the Beijing Olympics. I remember we had built up a huge magnesite inventory. Does that same kind of strategy make any sense now for us to build up some kind of alumina inventory, RM inventory?
It's a very good question. We deliberate this question quite importantly because raw material costs are such a huge component of it. As you know that we leverage the scale of the group, which means that we produce. I'll give an example of FM. FM, we are the 80% consumer in the entire world, Rajesh. same similar. I don't want to give the percentage for alumina because there are a lot of different numbers that will pop up. But if we start buying in a bulk thing, we will actually either favorably or unfavorably impact our global alumina price. So it causes a catfish impact, trying to catch its tail impact. And we don't like to gamble. We say that we will hedge and we will be more protective of our how we deploy our capital in a more judicial manner. So that is why we don't bulk up, because the question is this the lowest or further can it go lowest? So it becomes a very tough game for us. But what we do is that we use market insights, because we buy it at large scale. We understand the China, we understand in Africa, we understand India, what are the prevailing prices. And we select, I'm talking specifically about alumina, we select the right strategy for us, right quantity for us, we did it. Beijing, we did it. I remember because I was there on the other side of the table at that time. It was purely a supply risk that we would like to avoid, especially coming from post-pandemic when there was quite a bit of supply constraint that we had. Hence, we wouldn't, at the moment, we don't see a supply constraint in any of the products. Hence, we would like to deploy our capital in the most efficient manner.
And just... given your inventory policy, we would see like the high cost alumina prevails for at least 3 quarters. The current low prices should prevail for at least 2 or 3 quarters.
I tend to agree with you, but we cannot predict, authentically. Yes, looks like it will remain like this. And moreover, now in last few months, 2-3 players has come up in India also with this alumina raw material. So that will give some stability to this product, not only for us, but I think everybody.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh ji.
I think that was the last question, right, operator?
Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Parmod Sagar for closing comments.
Thank you very much, dear shareholder, analyst, for participating in this call, for your support. As usual, we will keep on striving to improve our margin, improve our market share, and unlock the value for you, shareholder. Thank you very much once again.
On behalf of RHI Magnesita India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.